Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts, and with him Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea, and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path.
Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and the light to my path.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
This evening, as last Wednesday, it seems almost as if we're eavesdropping on someone else's correspondence. Clearly, it's not quite private, since Paul is addressing a group, you all, he writes. But apart from Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, this verse provides evidence for the common assumption that these two were related, and Luke, the beloved physician, and it's from this verse alone that we know that Luke was a doctor. About the others, we know little more than their names. Now, you do probably remember Onesimus, likely the very slave who had run away from Philemon. You may also recall a certain Demas, having fallen in love with this present world, would later desert Paul and go to Thessalonica. But of Tychicus, and Aristarchus, and Jesus, who is called Justice, and Epaphras, and Nympha, who had a church in her house, and Archippus. These are just foreign-sounding names, strangers to us, but not apparently to the church in Colossae, and probably not to the Christians of Laodicea either. These congregations knew Tychicus and Aristarchus, and Jesus called Justice, and Epaphras, and Nympha, and Archippus. Some of them had been with Paul when he preached to them. Side by side with one another, they had eaten the Lord's body and drunk his blood. They had prayed with one another and for one another. They had shared the Lord's peace, forgiving one another in Christ. They were fellow members of the household of faith. And so, although we don't know these people, it's a good thing to hear St. Paul write of them. It helps us see the church as a family, as the body of Christ, with each member concerned about the other, forgiving the other, praying for the other, rejoicing with the other. St. Paul's final greetings, as much as the ethical instructions in his letters, help us see the shape of the Christian life, what it looks like when the love of Christ for sinners overflows in the love forgiven sinners show to one another. It is God's intent that Christians encourage one another, bear one another's burdens and sorrows, rejoice with one another, and pray for one another. The verse about masters treating their slaves well seems to belong more with the previous chapter's ethical teaching. And yet, think how important that verse might have been for Onesimus, that not only Philemon in his personal letter from St. Paul, but also that the whole congregation be reminded that they too were all of them bond servants with a gracious master in heaven. With this gentle reminder, even the members of the church in Colossae most concerned about good civil order would have thought twice about encouraging Philemon to exercise his rights and treat his runaway slave Onesimus according to the severity of the law, which was allowed, rather than with mercy and grace, which all of them had received in Christ. St. Paul's example might serve to encourage us in the same compassionate, but nonetheless real, application of God's law in the lives of fellow believers, and also help us receive that sort of encouragement and correction with appreciation. St. Paul's other admonitions and encouragements are readily applicable to our lives. He writes, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak." To be steadfast in prayer with thanksgiving is something for which each of us might well continually strive. The Spirit may be willing, but often the flesh is weak. Even if we desire to do this good, we fail to do it as faithfully as we might. And so Paul's encouragement here is helpful. And to pray especially for the church, her workers, and the proclamation of the gospel is important. After all, our Lord himself urged his disciples to pray earnestly for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. St. Paul admonishes, conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. This instruction reminds me of the words of St. Peter that we've sometimes been encouraged to consider. In your hearts regard Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience. Conduct yourself wisely toward outsiders, Paul's written, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. The Lord has graciously called you to be his own. He forgives you in Christ and would work through you, as he worked through St. Paul and the Christians of Colossae, to share his love in the household of faith and also with outsiders. The Lord grant us wisdom, well-seasoned words, love for one another, and faithfulness in prayer, to his glory and for the good of others. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.